The Web's Michael Smith. It is episode 96 of the Canes Cast, and there's two ways we can go with this.
Which ways are those?
We can get the old 96er, or I can make you an offer sheet for another title.
I see what you did there.
Thank you. A little great outdoors, thanks to some suggestions on the old Twitter machine.
So episode 96, that. Inching closer to the big century mark. Are we going to make it?
I think so.
Okay, good.
We've got some vacation coming up, so some later dates that will be moved around, but overall, we'll get there.
Yeah, I think
we'll get there.
Late July, early August, maybe?
Yeah,
maybe
that would
be the perfect
guess.
Kickoff for season three of the podcast.
Yes. Yes.
I think we have some things to talk about today.
We do. We had prospect development camp.
Mm-hmm.
The Canes signed Peter Mrazek.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, thanks to Travis Barkley for sending me the inspiration for using the old 96er in the open here. Let me think, what else do we have to talk about?
The broadcast team, yourself, John Forslund, Tripp Tracy, back for another season with the Hurricanes. That's exciting.
Great to be back. More gifs of John possibly knocking a laptop or a monitor over the broadcast position.
One of my favorite moments from last season. He has a lot of fun up there, and I happened to be looking over there at that moment when it happened. He does the little swan move or whatever it is.
Swan?
he sort of dives forward and in the process almost knocks the monitor off the ledge there. It was hilarious, and now I have the gift to forever relive it. You say GIF, I go GIF.
Well, didn't the guy who created it say it's GIF?
Well.
But it means whatever. I don't care. I don't. After the past 24, 48 hours, I've given up trying to talk to humanity about anything.
I'm going GIF.
There's no.
What else happened?
There's no more discourse to talk about in this world. It's I'm right, you're wrong, and we move on.
That's Twitter.
There's no conceding
points. Twitter lends itself to very
succinct
arguments like that.
But why can't somebody will just keep asking their question, and when you answer it, they just keep asking their question?
That's the old politician's trick, right?
It's a lawyer trick, and I hate it because you just keep asking it, and then I want to be like, to lawyers, you can go asked and answered instead of having to repeat yourself. And then when you ask...
Objection.
Sustained. But then when you ask a question to their question, like, okay, so this is happening here. Well, what about this? And they never answer it because it would blow up the argument that they've been so painstakingly crafting for these moments to say, I gotcha.
Yeah.
Which, evidently, that's what maybe the Montreal Canadiens were doing, crafting offer sheet.
We made it over 3 minutes into the podcast.
For Sebastian Aho. Well, a little bit of a buildup, you know?
Yeah, a tease, you know?
You can't get right into the heart of the matter.
Folks are wondering, when are Mike and Mike going to address the elephant in the room?
Well, here it is.
We can address him. We can't dress him because he's so large. He's an elephant.
Yeah, he's an elephant. Well, you could put a hat on him if you wanted, I would imagine. I've seen that.
Maybe a bow tie.
Ooh, that'd be great. So, to that end, yes, Sebastian Aho was given an offer sheet by the Montreal Canadiens, one that he signed.
Mm-hmm.
And then, how do you want to play this right now, Michael? Do you want to play this, let's read into the tea leaves, and what does this really mean, and let's go in between the lines, or do we just take this as he was a restricted free agent? The National Hockey League allows other teams, if you don't have your restricted free agent signed by July 1st, that you can make them an offer, and then they can sign said contract. And if they sign that deal, the team that had the rights to him as a restricted free agent has the ability, and I'm not trying to be condescending here, I'm trying to explain this for people who generally don't know, and I know that there are people who listen here to the Canes Cast who, how does this work? So with this restricted free agent contract that is put out there, this offer sheet, the Canes, generally restricted free agents, nobody makes an offer to them. It's been since 2013, the last time an outside organization put an offer sheet down in front of another player.
Right. Typically, those restricted free agents are either locked up in advance,
yep,
or they're just the restricted free agents on the market aren't as big a names as
yes,
you see this summer with guys like Sebastian Aho or Mitch Marner.
Well, they're not worth a compensation that
correct
is tied with signing a restricted free agent, meaning there's a bit of protection for organizations who draft a player and sign them. They put a player on their entry-level contract, and instead of at the end of their entry-level contract where they can become unrestricted free agents, meaning signing anywhere, the team that drafted them, and in particular if it's a first or a second-round pick that really worked out well, the team that drafted them has the ability to, if somebody's going to offer them a contract, to either take compensation commiserate with a pay scale. Like, what is it? If the offer's over $10.5 million, it's 4 first-round draft picks.
Yeah, it gets
If it's between
hefty.
8.5 and 10.5, it's like 2 first-rounders, a second round, and a third round. Or if it's what Montreal put on the table. And remember, it's average per year of the salary, not signing bonuses up front. So in the case of Sebastian Aho's deal, where it works out to be about $8.43 million a season, mm-hmm. give or take a penny here or there, that's 2 first-round picks. No, actually, it was a first, a second, yeah. and a third. Yeah, the two was if they moved up like mm-hmm. $50,000 more. So that's it. So that was what was there. But what Montreal did is looked at this, and because Montreal is an organization that has that Molson beer money and they're the Habs, they're flush with cash, they made it, the base salary is nothing. The base salary is $700,000, but signing bonuses count towards the average of the salary. That's why it's worth $8 million.
Yep.
And to sign it, it's $12 million on as soon as the pen touches the paper. And then next year, July 1st, another bonus is due of $9 million. So that's why in the first year of the contract, it's worth $21 million in bonus money. And that's where it came from. So look, Montreal took a run. And I can't say that I blame them for this. It's within the rules. Like, a lot of people are mad about this. I'm not. The collective bargaining agreement allows this to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people want to know, how did we get here? For me, you and I follow the negotiations and some of the things we can hear Michael Smith. We know that the Hurricanes, and Don Waddell said it as much today, they wanted a longer term. They wanted to lock up a 21-year-old player who's going to be 22 to an 8-year deal. That's what they, I mean, if we're going to throw a number out there, they wanted probably 8,
yes.
would have taken 7. The player and his agent wanted 5, shorter term. Because that way he'll be 26, really hitting his prime when his unrestricted free agent contract comes available. So that's all this comes down to. Well, the Canes didn't want to give the term. The money I don't think was ever going to be a problem. The money, in fact, was kind of what everybody has said, what we all thought it was going to be near there.
It was in the ballpark,
yeah. Yeah. It comes down to term. And so the sides were going back and forth, and it was pretty clear that the Canes, I would imagine from Aho's representation, Jerry Johansson, they weren't going to come down. And it looked like Sebastian Aho's group, his agent, wasn't going to go up to the long-term deal. So what do? They shop this around, say, this is the deal we're looking for. Montreal, all right, we'll put something on the table. And that's what they did. And they wanted to see if the Canes could match it. And today, the Carolina Hurricanes said that they're going to match the deal. So Sebastian Aho is going to be a Carolina Hurricane for 5 more years.
Yes.
Officially.
Mm-hmm.
Or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, it's going to happen within the next week, the time frame.
Choked up over this?
Yeah, I guess my sandwich that I scarfed down before pressing record on this. Within the next week, the time frame allowed under the collective bargaining agreement, the Hurricanes will match the offer sheet, which will sign Aho. It behooves the Hurricanes to wait as long as they can. They can wait until the 11th hour of this time frame. Because it ties up assets for the Canadiens, both in terms of cap space and the draft picks. They have to have both in order to be able to compensate the Hurricanes should they choose not to sign the offer sheet. So they're sort of caught in no man's land, the Canadiens are, for the next week until the Hurricanes officially match that offer sheet.
We say that, but the Habs know they're getting that money back, so
yeah.
But they can't officially, because say they go out and they can't offer sheet anybody else,
right? Because everything's tied up.
Yeah.
So it benefits the Hurricanes to wait, and they're going to do that. Just as the Hurricanes are going to exercise their CBA right to wait to answer the offer sheet, just as the Montreal Canadiens exercise their CBA right to present the offer sheet to Sebastian Aho, and just as Aho and his representation use their CBA rights to sign the offer sheet.
Yeah.
There's so many ins and outs of this whole process that I don't know if I was consciously aware of before it happened, because it has been 6.5 years since it last happened, and historically it's always been answered. There hasn't been a situation where, except for I believe once, where a team has successfully offer-sheeted a player away from another team. It takes a good bit of cash in order to do it. And the Montreal Canadiens, I don't think, quite got there in terms of the salary structure that they were offering. They did get aggressive in structuring the contract with signing bonus, and that was the big headline north of the border yesterday, was that, the Hurricanes aren't going to be able to sign this contract because look at all the signing bonus, especially in the first 12 months. I think they forgot that the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes is a billionaire.
Yeah.
And as he said today, and he said he admitted that it sounded terrible, but writing that $21 million check or whatever the check is going to be, that you know, the $11
million
this year
to start
or whatever,
and then $9 million at the end. Whatever.
He said that's no big deal. And it's not. It's money that Sebastian Aho was going to get either way. It's like winning the lottery. You're either going to take the lump sum or you're going to get payments over a period of time. So Aho was going to get that $8.5 million in the first year, or average annual value, I should say. He was going to get that in either deferred payments or anyway. So yeah. It doesn't really matter.
Or a signing bonus.
It doesn't really matter other than, I guess, cash flow, that he's getting it all up front. It's kind of good for him because he gets a heck of a payday once he puts pen to paper.
And by the way, he gets a heck of a lot more for staying in Carolina than
also
if he was
true.
To go up to Montreal because of the taxes that would be up there. And, of course, the conversion of, you hate to do this, but nobody ever thinks of the American dollar. While his American dollar would go much further in Montreal, he would be taxed a lot more on that dollar. So.
Yeah. There are just so many wrinkles to it, from the strategy of Aho's agent to the strategy of what the Canadians are trying to do to the strategy of what the Hurricanes were doing in negotiations. And I think, ultimately, what has happened is something that's going to benefit, I think, both sides, both the Hurricanes and and Sebastian Aho. Montreal got caught in the middle of it, and I don't know if they look foolish or Sebastian Aho's agent made him look a little foolish, but they get caught in the middle of it. But ultimately, the Hurricanes get a contract taken care of with Sebastian Aho in the first week of July. Had an offer sheet not happened, these negotiations might have well dragged into August, maybe even September. The hope was that they were going to get him signed before the start of training camp, but you never know. Secondly, they sign him at a dollar amount that is in the neighborhood of what they were already talking about. The only disappointing part, and we've talked about this, is the term, because the Hurricanes wanted the longer 8-year term to buy some years of unrestricted free agency off of Aho, but Aho's camp wanted the shorter term so that he hits that UFA market when theoretically he's in his prime and he's going to be due for another pretty big payday.
If he continues to project the way that he is, he will be a player who will be in the $10 million a year conversation, maybe more by the time we get to, 5 years from now would be the 2024-25 season, depending on where the salary cap is. Yeah, he could be a lot more than that. By the way, it's funny, because like people, and for every side of this, everybody has their opinions and their thoughts and their this and their that. Folks who are Carolina Hurricanes fans, back in 1998, they offered Sergei Fedorov of the then Detroit Red Wings.
And Don Waddell was on the other side of that then.
A 6-year, $38 million contract as far as an offer sheet goes. And the Canes put in that deal that if Fedorov reached the conference finals with the team he was on, being the Canes, he would be due a $12 million bonus. Now, this is 20 years ago. That's nothing to sneeze at. And thinking that's like a poison pill that Detroit wouldn't swallow, well, Detroit did, and Fedorov stayed in Detroit, and we know the history there with Sergei Fedorov and the Detroit Red Wings and the team that they were able to have. The funny thing about that is, you know, everybody is looking at, well, where's the kid? The cash is there. The cash is there. I love this. It's small market, and the Canes can't do this and can't do that. Their revenue streams. Yeah, it kind of hurts immediately, but again, this is something that comes from Tom Dundon's pocket, and as he said, and Michael already quoted it, you know, it sounds terrible to say, he's got the money to pay this bonus right now.
Remember, this is a person who bought a controlling stake in a football league.
Yes.
He's got the money to guy. And I loved all the from north of the border, all the Zapruder-ing of the Hurricanes gate receipts and all of this, and all they're not going to have the money. It was never an issue.
No,
the Canadians were holding on to hope that it was going to be an issue, but the money was never an issue. Don Waddell said for weeks in advance, look, the Hurricanes are going
Saturday, Mike.
Yeah, they're going to match any offer sheet. Now, had the Canadians come forward with something that was AAV closer to 10, maybe a little higher, maybe then the Hurricanes at least think about it for longer than less than 24 hours. But
if it's the one where four first-round draft picks are coming in return, and that bonus and the AAV is 10.5.
Right.
You're thinking about, but that wouldn't have made any sense for Montreal, because if this deal would have gone through for them, they would have had 33% just about of their salary cap tied into three players, a 31-year-old goaltender in Carey Price, a 33-year-old defenseman in Shea Weber. Now you got the 22-year-old center in Sebastian Aho, but that is 33% of your cap. And to go over this and people just – look, Habs fans, if you wanted him, he's a great player. I don't blame anybody wanting him. I don't blame Mark Bergevin for doing this.
No.
And honestly, and again, as we always try to be forthright on this podcast, Michael Smith and I, the Web's Michael Smith and I, are employees of the Carolina Hurricanes. We want what is the best thing for this team. I have no problem with an agent going out trying to get the best deal for his player. Now, is Sebastian Aho, like everybody wants to put the riffs now. Ooh, what does this do now with the team and the organization and the whatever? They might not be thrilled with the agent. I think that he's off the Christmas card list. But the agent did his job. He got what was best for his player. Does Sebastian Aho, did he want a contract around $8.5 million in 5 years? Yeah, the agent did his job. The agent can be the bad guy for this. I'm a huge baseball fan. Not a fan of Scott Boras at all for the contracts that he's done and how he's held certain organizations hostage with these players. But if I ever had a kid and he was a great baseball player, guess who's the first guy I would ever ask to be his agent? Scott Boras. Go get the deal for him. So it's negotiation. It's everything. The team wants the best deal for the team. The player and the agent want the best deal for the player and the agent where he gets the cut. So that's it. And that's what all this came down to. And what I've hated, Michael, I don't know how involved in the conversations you get with this, but the head against the wall conversation with people saying, why did this? How come they couldn't get this deal done beforehand if it was so simple? Because Sebastian Aho's camp wanted 5 years. The Carolina Hurricanes wanted a longer term. There was no movement, it seems, going back and forth on the term. The money seemed right. But if this is the case, is Kyle Dubas not doing his job in Toronto because Mitch Marner's not signed? Is there a problem with Tampa Bay's management? Braden Point doesn't have a contract right now. I mean, you tell me.
The popular narrative is, especially from the other side of the coin here, is that, well, Sebastian Aho clearly doesn't want to play for the Hurricanes. He wants to play for the Canadiens. And
How about the other narrative is they used the Canadiens to get the contract they wanted from the Hurricanes where they wanted to be all along.
Well,
is that possible?
I think this, you probably, if you look back 6.5 years ago, you'd probably find the same narrative when Ryan O'Reilly was offer sheeted. What I look at it as is Sebastian Aho signing a contract that he believes suits him well and that he knows the Hurricanes are going to match. Yes, he has to be comfortable with going to Montreal if the Hurricanes were to somehow refuse, but he has to know that Don Waddell has said all along that the Hurricanes are going to match whatever offer sheet is put out there, and lo and behold, he's signing his name to the contract that he believes suits him best. The Hurricanes are going to match it. Why would you not sign that contract?
Yeah.
It doesn't indicate that he wants to go to Montreal. It indicates that he has found the best contract available to him, and he knows the team that he played for and went to the Eastern Conference Final with is going to match it, and that's exactly what's going to happen. So it's a bit of a shrewd tactic by Aho's camp in, you know, getting this offer sheet process going, because it does give them a bit of negotiating power when otherwise, as a restricted free agent who isn't eligible for arbitration, Sebastian Aho didn't have much leverage, if any at all, in negotiations. He sort of had to deal with whatever Carolina was giving him. All they have to submit to him is the qualifying offer to retain his rights. Aho really doesn't have anything unless he was going to hold out until December 1st like William Nylander did last season. He doesn't really have any negotiating power. So in getting this offer sheet process going, whether that's his agent, you know, shopping it around, as might have been suggested today, they ended up regaining some negotiating power. And that's, you know, you can't fault Aho and his camp for doing that because, again, like Tom Dundon said on the conference call today, he's got to do what's best for him and his family, and the Hurricanes have to do what's best for the organization. And ultimately, I think they've arrived at something. The Canadians did, I think, the Hurricanes a pretty big favor with a contract that benefits really both sides. It pacifies the want for a shorter term for Aho and his camp, and money-wise, it's really not far off from what the Hurricanes were already discussing. So it, you know, I know they like to hang on to that carrot of the signing bonuses, but that's really not a big deal. And through all of this, I think what I've seen is it sort of illustrates why offer sheets are so ineffective. Because you were talking about how it didn't really make sense for Montreal to go higher with money because of then the draft picks they would have to give up and the amount of cap space they would have tied in to just three players. But at the same time, they almost needed to in order to get a deal done. So when you account for all of that, you come to the conclusion that maybe an offer sheet isn't the best strategy for acquiring players to make your team better. And Tom Dundon sort of went over as much on the conference call today in that when the Hurricanes were exploring their options, they didn't feel like an offer sheet best suited them. Obviously, the Canadians felt that it best suited them. They gave it a shot. And, you know, as we've said, we can't fault them for that. I honestly wish more GMs would give it a shot.
Yep.
It's a perfectly legal way of acquiring a player under the CBA. I kind of wish more GMs would take a run at it and make things interesting. Or maybe the NHL needs to tweak the rules and make the compensations a little lower. But then it might just be the Wild West
yeah.
and chaos. And but yeah, I can't fault the Canadians. If they truly wanted to go after Aho, though, they probably should have upped that AAV.
Or I'll just do a counterpoint with you, Michael.
Okay.
Where you say make the compensations a little bit lower. How about make the compensations a little bit higher? Ooh. Meaning, you know, for say the deal that Montreal threw down in front of Sebastian Aho, instead of getting a first, a second, and a third, that turns into two firsts and a second.
So then you have more teams pondering whether.
Like,
yeah.
All right, now you have to consider, is the assets we're getting in return, is that going to be good enough?
Yeah.
You know, is that going to be something that we would look at? I think that's the other way.
Yep.
And it still, I think, protects everybody. In some way, shape, or form, but maybe we'd see a little bit more of this done. And I'm with you. I'm for this.
I love it. Chaos.
It is.
It's and it sort of brews rivalries between teams.
See, everybody thinks that. I'm not so sure.
Well, look, the players aren't going to care one
Thank
way
you.
Or the other. The fans might, which might make it just a better atmosphere in terms of just banter between fans. But, yeah, the players aren't going to care one way or the other.
But, you know, it's Montreal. They're going to say half the stuff in French, so.
Yeah.
Like I
and
can
you
pick
know,
out bits and pieces of it. But.
I took French in high school and then placed into like remedial French in college. So I switched to Spanish.
No, I took French from middle school all the way to my senior year of high school.
Oui, oui.
And some unbeknownst to me, my senior year of high school, French was AP. So I did not have to take a foreign language in college.
There you
so
go.
So that worked for me.
Yeah.
So I can speak just a little bit. Je parle un peu. And I leave it at that. And, you know, some people are like, oh, you use Google Translate. I'm like, no, I know how to say, okay, d'accord, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
You've been with me in Montreal. I've said things and people start yapping at me in French.
Yeah.
I'm like, nah.
Well, that's dangerous if they say bonjour and then you say bonjour back and then they start talking French and you're like, whoa.
Yeah,
that's the extent of.
No, je parle anglais.
Yeah.
Merci.
Yeah.
And that's it. And they tilt their head.
That's why I think I just go straight for hello. Straight for the English just to let them know right away. I can't speak a lot of French.
We're not going French here.
I can say hi and I'm good and you know, thank you.
Again, neither is Sebastian Aho.
No, he's staying in Raleigh. And we'll hear from Sebastian hopefully in the next few days.
I'm sure.
He'll get to sort of explain his side of things. I don't think there's going to be much intrigue as to what he's going to say. He wanted to be here. There's not really any question about that. And I think you'll hear as much whenever we hear from him in the next few days.
All right. So let me put this on the table for you, Michael, because we get this a lot. How many press conferences have you been to just in the last 7 years?
Oh, I don't know. Lots.
I mean,
a few.
Quite a few.
Yeah.
And how many signings or guys talking about their contract?
Yeah, a few also.
How many times when a person has signed a contract have you heard, I'm not really happy to be here, but this is the contract that I've signed?
Also true.
So the thing, and going back to the Montreal media, the Quebec media. Sorry. Just had to gather my thoughts here when I said Quebec media because I know what comes next out of all of this. So when are you moving to Quebec City? No one. No one's moving there.
Well, that was but, then, and now it's, well, you know, so what anyway, your player wants to play for the Canadiens.
So to this end, well, why did Sebastian Aho say he wanted to play for the Montreal Canadiens? Because when you sign a contract and you put out your first blanket statement, everybody says, I'm happy here. I want to play for X team. Nobody, to my knowledge, has signed a contract. Maybe it's happened, but not to my knowledge, has signed a contract in professional sports and said, I really didn't want to be here, but this was the contract that I wanted to have, so that's why I'm here. So everybody who's reading into this, why did he say that? Why? Because it's generic. Every press conference that is going to be held in the National Hockey League to announce the free agent signings that have gone down this year, every free agent will say, I wanted to play for this team. This is where I wanted to be. I'm happy to be here. No one's ever going to say, well, I really wanted to be in Carolina, but they didn't give me the contract I wanted, so that's why I'm settling on Montreal. It doesn't work that way. It's rhetoric. It's spin. It's speak. It happens. Michael and I can tell you pretty much, depending on what the press conference is about, 90% of what's going to be said. By the way, side note, that's why we are such huge fans of Rod Brind'Amour, because he's the one guy who doesn't give you the stock answer. He gives you the real answers, the head coach of your Carolina Hurricanes. But for everybody, if you're listening to this CanesCast, take this to the highest mountain you can find and hold this up and broadcast it. The reason why it was put anywhere in print, that Sebastian Aho said that he wanted to play for Montreal, and Marc Bergevin, the general manager, reiterated that the other day, is because that's what they say. Nobody says any different.
Well, it's what his agent said.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Your agent says, you're going to go in there, you're going to wear this tie, and wear this shirt, and you're going to come out and you're going to say this. And you're going to say, I'm happy to be here. I want to be here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but we didn't even get to that point. It was just his agent. He wasn't even talking, and I think that's where the...
And Tom Dundon said that as much today.
I think that's where the some of the confusion is, because his agent has told Marc Bergevin these things. Bergevin ran with him, and here we are.
Yeah, and again, Tom Dundon said as much. We didn't hear these come out of these words come out of the mouth of Sebastian Aho. It came out of his agent.
Yeah. If he ultimately signed a contract that he knew was good for him, that he knew the Hurricanes would match. And it's worked out. It will work out officially once the Hurricanes sign, seal, and deliver the paperwork. Probably on Monday.
Yeah.
Probably going to take it right through the 7 days. Because they can. Just like the Canadiens can offer sheet Sebastian Aho.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to hear all the chatter about what potential offer sheets might happen. And then to actually see one happen. Pretty interesting. I'd like to see more.
Yeah. I mean, I'm with you, because it has created this chaos amongst, oh, what happens now?
Yeah.
So I'm for it.
Chaos reigns. Let's go.
I'm in. More of it.
It's not my money.
Yeah. Again, Don Waddell told me that on Saturday after the prospects game. Well, actually before the prospects game, mm-hmm. that, you know, how do you do this? Well, it's not my money. And if I'm a GM, I'm going to spend it anywhere. And again, Mark Bergevin's job in Montreal is to make the Habs better, yep. make the Canadiens a better team. If he felt that contract was going to make them better, you go ahead and put that contract out there. That's what he did.
Yep.
And as we've chronicled this again, but to recap, when that deal was put out and we found out what it was, the AAV was something that was very palatable for the Carolina Hurricanes. Yes, there's a huge signing bonus that has to be paid, $11-plus million and then $9-plus million in the first year of the contract.
It's very front-loaded.
It's a steep actual dollars contract in the first year.
And we will say, obviously, we hope there is no lockout next season. Yeah. But in the case that there is, again, hopefully not. I don't get the sense that there will be, just from the climate of the NHL, the NHLPA at the moment. Obviously, things can change very quickly. But in the case that there is a lockout, Sebastian Aho's money is protected because he gets it in the form of signing bonuses. So that salary that otherwise would have been withheld while he's not playing games, he's getting in right up front in the form of a signing bonus. So he's somewhat protected should there be a lockout. But again, hopefully that is not the case.
Yeah, that's it, period. So there you go. That's it. Is there anything else we need to
cover? I think we could wrap up the book because we've done a solid 30 minutes on this alone, but so much else has happened that I feel like we need to dive into it.
We have, and a lot of questions to get to as well.
A lot of questions, yes.
All right, so quickly, we'll transition from that contract to the Carolina Hurricanes. Maybe their goaltending situation has been sorted out because
I think so.
Peter Mrazek comes back on a 2-year deal, a little bit over $6 million, with a chance to be the number one goaltender. The Canes did acquire James Reimer from the Florida Panthers in exchange for the contract of Scott Darling, which then was bought out by Florida. But now on the books, you have Peter Mrazek, James Reimer, Alex Nedeljkovic. You still have Anton Forsberg as a restricted free agent. Who? How come nobody's offer sheeting him? How come they're not getting a deal done? Sorry, digress. But to those ends, you've got three goaltenders who are going to compete, possibly four, depending on how the Forsberg situation works out, which probably that's going to be something we'll see rectified soon. Those are your goalies, I think, right now today. If you press me, those are the goalies you're going to go in. But it's a good thing for the Hurricanes how the goaltender market shook out. They wanted Peter Mrazek to be here.
Yep.
I think that Peter wanted to be here, but again, another situation where term and money and things that he wanted to go find out what else was there. And then he comes back to Carolina and circles back on a deal that I think is good for the player and good for the team.
It's a great deal. I think the Hurricanes, they don't give too much term, as you might see with the New York Islanders giving 4 years to a 31-year-old goaltender. Kind of puzzling, considering they have a Vezina Trophy finalist who they could have had seemingly for the same dollar amount, but that's neither here nor there. So the Hurricanes bringing back Peter Mrazek, a big piece of their goaltending success last season, 2 years at an AAV of 3.125. It's very fair for him. That's more than double what he made on his Prove It contract from a season ago. He certainly earned that raise. And then you look at what could be behind him in terms of James Reimer, who has 2 years left on a 5-year deal. Or Alex Nedeljkovic, who's the reigning AHL goaltender of the year, who the Hurricanes could also still put through, put back down in Charlotte or recall without waivers. That's an important piece. His contract in the second year goes to a one-way contract, sort of indicating that the Hurricanes expect him to be a full-time NHL goalie by the second year, or at least in terms of the waiver situation, they wouldn't be able to send him to Charlotte without waivers. So there might not be much incentive to do that because they might end up losing him on waivers should they try to do that. So it's going to create some interesting competition in camp for that backup job, I think, because you have James Reimer, who's a veteran. You have Alex Nedeljkovic, who's a young, proven winner. He's won really everywhere he's gone. He won his start, his first career start up here with the Hurricanes this season in Vancouver. And then you have the wild card in Anton Forsberg, who could potentially work his way into the conversation. But I'm going to, for now, give the edge to the guy who was the goaltender of the year in the AHL. And it's never a bad thing to have depth in your goaltending position, as we saw this year with the Hurricanes, who last year, coming off July 1st, were looking to have Scott Darling and Peter Mrazek as sort of the 1-2 situation in net.
Yep.
And then fast forward to opening night, and it's Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhinney. So that really illustrates just how quickly things can change in a few months. And for the Hurricanes to have a number of options already in their system is a good thing. And they did a good job, I think, wrapping up Peter Mrazek at,
yep,
at a good deal, both for the team and for the player, because Mrazek, again, doubling what he was making last year.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's something where you know what you're getting in Peter Mrazek. By the way, look at the career numbers for James Reimer. You're going to be pleasantly surprised at how good they are.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, here's an opportunity for Reimer. The funny thing that you talk about it, this is a chance for Reimer to prove that he can still have the crease, and you can have that competition between Mrazek and Reimer. Not necessarily that you had a competition more as a tandem with McElhinney and Mrazek last season. Maybe you get the exact same thing with Reimer and Mrazek, or, you know, who knows, because of the depth of the goaltending situation, it can lead to other opportunities for the Hurricanes. All good right now, because what was a big question mark in net for Carolina, now you've got some answers. Another answer is who is going to play and be a top nine forward. Where were the Canes going to get some help there? Well, they got it from the Vegas Golden Knights and Eric Halla, where they got him in exchange for a six-round pick, and he comes in. Now, he's coming off of a bad knee injury last year, but he says he's fine. We talked to him the other night, Michael. He says that he should be good to go and ready to play. But here's a guy who, in Vegas's run to the Cup 2 years ago, pretty good player.
Yeah.
And what it does, more depth down the middle. Now you have Sebastian Aho, Jordan Staal, Eric Halla, and you can move Lucas Walmark down
right in
that fourth line role. So now you've got a lot of depth down the middle for this hockey club.
Yeah, and Nicolas Roy going the other way in that deal. So the
That's
Canes,
Roy,
the
you.
Canes essentially flipping a guy who has played a handful of NHL games for a proven NHLer in Halla, who, of course, had the knee injury last year, but the year before scored 29 goals, 19 points on the power play. He's going to be a big asset, yep, for the team on specialty teams, whether it's power play or penalty kill. And like you said, does fit Walmark into, I think, maybe a little bit of a better spot for him in terms of the center depth, especially with Greg McKegg moving on to the New York Rangers, yep, yesterday in free agency. This gives the Hurricanes pretty good depth down the middle. Halla is going to be a good piece for that team. He obviously knows Nino Niederreiter from Minnesota, and he's familiar with the Finns, Aho and Teräväinen.
And he knows Justin Falk as well from his time in Minnesota.
Yeah, so it's a
Falk
good,
being a Minnesota native, by the way.
Correct, yeah. The other Justin Falk, I believe, was he on the Minnesota Wild at one point? Justin F-A-L-K?
Might have been.
Maybe. I don't know. But this gives the Hurricanes a good depth down the middle, an option that can be that scoring force. The Hurricanes are, of course, going to continue to look at perhaps adding some scoring to their roster, but at this point in time, through free agency, that's probably not the avenue to go at this point, with a lot of the big names already off the market.
Yeah,
through
look, trades, there's as of right now, the recording of this podcast, which is a Tuesday afternoon, there's not a lot of big-name punch that's left out there. Like, anybody who's out there, you'd have to, surprise, surprise, give an offer sheet to, Michael.
Yeah. So I think the
Chaos.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Go!
So the only way I think the Hurricanes would be able to accomplish that is through another trade. But that trade to bring Halla over, a good move, and it gives, yeah, Nicolas Roy a chance to perhaps, yep, establish himself more at the NHL level than he has been able to do with the Hurricanes organization so far.
Yeah, you know, you take advantage of a team in a desperate salary cap situation in Vegas, and you get an asset out of it where, yes, you give up something tangible in Nick Waugh, but he was a guy who right now wasn't breaking through to your NHL roster.
Right.
And you get a player who you can put on your NHL roster.
Interesting that Vegas goes from an expansion team to a team over the cap in just 2 years. Maybe a cautionary tale for Seattle. It makes sense, though, because the team they had to assemble through the expansion draft, you don't have any guys on their entry-level contracts, so you're working with all these big contracts. Then you hand out extensions to the guys who perform so well in year one that eventually you work yourself into this cap problem after 2 years.
All right. Well, you know, it's always a problem on this show.
If you like it, you can take it. If you don't, send it right back.
Do you have one?
Routinely a problem.
Do you have one?
No.
Of course not. Why would you? So with that being said, we have one for you.
Okay, perfect.
And this is where Travis Barkley comes up big again.
Travis, my man.
For the upcoming season, how many self-generated with no Twitter help? If you like it, you can take it. Will Michael Smith have? Is there an official Vegas line? I'd guess at 3.5 and probably take the under. There is no official Vegas line.
I'd take the over on 3.5.
I'd take the under all day. All day.
I bet if you went back and looked at ones from this past season, I bet I had at least 5.
4, maybe. Just grazing the over.
We need somebody to go back through the podcast and listen. Somebody will.
Do you have one today? Or is
no.
No, I didn't think so.
No.
All right.
That's a good one, though.
Well, we have a bunch.
We have a bunch of questions, yeah.
So, and there was a great question to get to that kind of got put on the back burner. From our friend Carl Cucumbers.
Oh, yeah. Carl Cucumbers. What's he up to
Carl,
these days?
Carl Kikis. Keeks? Kikis.
Kikis.
Kikis. Kikes. Anyway.
Carl Keeks.
Cucumbers is better. If we must wait 3.5 years to rank a draft, how would you rank the 2015 draft for Carolina?
And oh, yeah. I remember that one.
It's an honestly great question. I really want to get into it. But, you know, at first glance, you get... What, Sebastian Aho?
Yeah,
you get Noah Hanifin.
Uh-huh.
Noah Hanifin was the first round pick in that draft. And
Noah Hanifin, Sebastian Aho, Callum Booth, Nicolas Waugh,
yeah.
Luke Stevens, Spencer Smallman, Jake Massey, David Cotton, Stephen Lorenz.
Stephen Lorenz is in the organization. David Cotton's going to be the captain of Boston College, so that's outstanding. Nick Waugh, you just turned into Eric Halla.
Yeah,
but like. There were avenues I want to go. Like, do you want to grade it like the player for player or what it's turned into? That draft might be an A for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if you look at obviously Noah Hanifin is an NHL talent, but also look at who they were able to turn that into.
Yeah.
And Dougie Hamilton. Sebastian Aho, obviously a star in this league, an all-star in this league. Callum Booth in the goaltending pipeline for the organization, as you mentioned, Waugh turning into Eric Halla, Spencer Smallman, Stephen Lorenz playing parts in the organization, and David Cotton, who is someone I've really liked to sort of track through these development camps,
yeah.
Because each one he comes back to, you're like, okay, you know, he's kind of figuring it out, and he might have his stuff put together, and as you mentioned, a product of Boston College. So, yeah, I mean, what the Hurricanes were able to do in that draft right now seems pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That one's turned out to be a pretty good draft,
I
think.
I mean, right now, just based on that, I'd give it's an A grade for the Hurricanes with what they got, with what it turned into. That also being put out there, you don't have one. I have one for you. It'll be about offer sheets. Do you think it will be another 6 years until we see an offer sheet given in the National Hockey League, or will they be more frequent, Michael?
I mean, I'd like to think they'd be more frequent, but I'm kind of I wonder if this one might scare some other general managers, because I feel like while Montreal took a good stab at it, and kudos for them for taking a stab in the first place at it, I'm not sure they were aggressive enough in their offer. And I'm not sure that it's going to have the effect on the market where you're going to see more offer sheets. So it's probably going to be a while.
Yeah.
I wish we'd see more, but it's probably going to be a while.
Yeah. And this one comes in from Mike Mathis. Like it or take it back. Opening night, take warning should be replaced with underestimated.
Take warning's fine.
I know.
Yeah.
That's from the
yes.
Don Waddell saying don't underestimate the Carolina yeah. Hurricanes as far as the signing goes. All
throwing
right.
Throwing bows in the press release yeah. quotes. I love it.
As well, he should. Are you ready for some questions now?
We've got So many. I mean, a good number were, because we, and to peel back the curtain a little bit, we were planning on recording this morning.
Yes.
So Tuesday, July the 2nd, at about, what, 10:30,
11? Yeah. We were set.
And then internally, we got word that the offer sheet news would be happening, so we pumped the brakes on the podcast. Yes. Because
so obviously, for once, they actually told us something.
Yes. Because what we would have recorded would have been immediately outdated. So a lot of these questions were answered by the Hurricanes today, but we'll get to as many as still apply.
All right. So that being said, there are a lot of people who took the time to send us questions about Sebastian Aho and the offer sheet. We appreciate that, but we kind of covered that right now.
Yeah.
We'll dip into some things that are, you know, we can't get into it. We know the Canes are going to sign it and match it and when it's all going to be done. And folks, it's official. They just don't have to. All they got to do is turn in the paperwork, right, Michael? Like, that's all we're waiting on now.
Pen to paper.
That's it.
You know, whatever. And
turn it into,
now.
Fax it into the league.
Yeah.
So this comes in, Josh Holdner. Do you think how the Aho situation played out put a strain on Aho and the Canes?
No.
The owner said no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I don't think it's a strain with the players in the room, anything like that.
No.
Because once they drop the puck, none of that stuff matters.
And if anything, he just owes some guys some dinners because he's going to be rich.
He got paid. Matthew Herman, Canes Cast, conspiracy theory. Did Mark Bergevin help Aho's agent knowing he wouldn't get anything? No.
No, I mean, no. Unintentionally, maybe.
I think he just wanted to. See. And let's face it, there's this group of, all right, Tom Dundon is new to this. Let's see how he reacts to this. Yeah. Let's see, because like you said, the Zapruder film of studying gate receipts.
Yeah. I don't even know how accurate all of that is. Like, they were throwing all these numbers out. Like, they had the tax forms up there and were studying them. But I don't know.
Right. This from Chris. Can you guys do a Canes Cast interview with the newly acquired Eric Halla at some point this summer? If he is here and we are here, we will put our best people on making those ends meet.
Yeah.
So we're
set. He's about to go on his honeymoon.
Yes.
Just got married.
I know. Good for him. Enjoy that. This one comes in to start. Congratulations on your contract. Thank you. Don't have to congratulate me. Congratulate Sebastian Aho. He got the contract. Second, how impressive were our draft picks, and do you see any of them making the club this year? Maybe Drury or Suzuki from the not spelling dude, Jason Bennett, from the prospect camp. Jack Drury's going back to Harvard,
mm-hmm.
So he is not going to be a member of the Carolina Hurricanes. Ryan Suzuki, who, as the camp went on, stood out a little bit more. Hands were good, had a nifty goal, even though he said that he whiffed on it in the prospect game. He's going to go back to the Barry Colts. I don't think anybody who was in prospect camp this year we're going to see on the NHL roster.
No. And that was the different feel to this year's development camp, is that last year there was Andrei Svechnikov, there was Martin Natchez, there was Jake Bean. There were these names that you expected for them to have an impact. This year there just wasn't that same pool of prospects. And again, you had the Charlotte Checkers making a run and winning the Calder Cup, so you didn't have any representation from there. Just sort of a different feel to this year's development camp, a glimpse of what's maybe farther off in the future, maybe a couple years down the line.
Yeah, that's about it. This from Brian Watts, kind of already answered, but I think worth getting a question to it. How much weight do you put on Aho's agent saying he wants to play in Montreal? Is there a concern that Aho's desire to be here or there or bad blood, or there'll be bridges to mend, or is this all just business?
Business, baby.
I put it out earlier. I'll put it out again. It's what Michael Corleone told Sonny in The Godfather. It's not personal. It's strictly business.
So not Mike Sondheim. He wasn't in The Godfather.
No.
Okay. Just making sure.
No. Michael. No.
Although yeah,
he would be Sonny, and then, but you're Michael.
Yeah.
And no offense, you're not Al Pacino, because you're taller than Al Pacino. He's a very small man.
I wish I was Al Pacino.
This from Scott Ensel. What are your expectations for Martin Natchez in the 2019-20 season goal point projections? You want to hold this one until we see what line he's playing on, or do we want to do something? Because we had one last year for him.
Yeah, I mean, I
got to see. I mean, if he's playing with Eric Halla, where I think that's where he would slot now, just on how we're looking at how the Canes are built. 15 goals, 35 assists, 30 assists. Anywhere between 15 and 20 and 25 and 35 assists.
Yeah, and even that might... But Andrei Svechnikov had, what, 39 points?
Yeah, 20 goals, 19 assists.
Yeah, so I don't know, 30 points maybe.
Nachos is more of a playmaker, though.
Yeah. Yeah, it depends. It depends on a lot of factors, obviously.
I'd say let's put him at 45, max 45 points.
Yeah, that sounds fair.
And then put the numbers right however off you the want to get him there. Yeah. I mean, it won't be 45 goals.
45 goals and no assists.
Exactly.
It's never going to pass.
Exactly. Wolfgang Schmuck, love the name. What came first, the chicken or the egg? I'm going to say the chicken. Because you can't lay an egg without there being an animal to actually lay the egg, right?
Theoretically, I guess.
Yeah. There you go, folks. That question finally answered. Where? Kane's cat.
But how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
The world may never know. That's actually the commercial for those of you out there who don't know it. Carolyn Christians, what's the word on TVR's recovery? Have we had any recent updates on whether he'll be ready for camp? I have so many other questions, but this is the least complicated. I don't know. Anything that involves surgery and rehab gets complicated. I have not heard anything other than he is on pace.
Yeah.
He is where he should be, where all the markers are. So that does lead me to believe that he could be ready for camp, but we haven't heard anything definitive about that.
Yep.
Not
right
now.
It could still be a question mark.
That's a question that we will get to Bill Burniston later on in this summer, where he will join the Canes cast again. I don't know if he'll be there for the whole time, but we'll do our best. Lots of important questions, but this is from Bella Dawn. But I'm only interested in one topic right now. Will Justin Williams return in the lineup? And there's one word that they want to hear that's the only acceptable word.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
It sounded like... Today, Don Waddell said he believes that Williams is possibly leaning towards playing, but it's still going to probably take a few weeks for him to sort that all out. So and like if he does play, I believe he'll come back to the Hurricanes. Yeah. I don't believe there's any desire to play anywhere else, but give it a few weeks and that should be sorted out.
Yeah, and like we said, probably look third week of July, second week of July for
ish,
that.
Yeah.
This from Dan Burniston. If Justin Williams does choose to retire, these questions lead into each other. Will the Canes look for another veteran player with playoff experience to lead the team in some way, shape, or form? It's a very good question. But now that hinges on who is out there, who's available by the time he makes his decision.
Right.
So I think if they had we would know right now if they went out and signed somebody and you're like, okay, veteran guy, some playoff experience. To use a
Patrick Marleau.
Well, if they convince if Marleau wanted to stay here,
right?
If they convince him to stay here, along those lines, or Joe Pavelski, who just left San Jose and signed with Dallas. If it was a move like that, I would be going, well, I think the odds of Justin Williams coming back are going the other way. But as of right now, I'm sure they would. I'm sure they would address that in some way, shape, or form.
I think he's. I'll throw my hat in the ring for him coming back. I don't know if we've done that already on this pod in previous episodes, but I'll go ahead and put my name in the hat for it. He'll be back.
Okay, all right.
I'm taking that.
I'll take
or
that
keeping
as,
it or whatever.
I'll take that as well.
Yeah.
Kate Merrill, hey guys, can you explain the offer sheet and the restricted free agent process? But the why are offer sheets so rare? Because the compensation that generally has to come back when you sign a high-end free restricted free agent. And there was kind of a gentleman's agreement, we don't do this in the NHL, but I don't think that matters anymore. And again, chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos.
Total chaos. Team chaos.
I'm all for it. Wesley Anderson, if the Hurricanes match the Yahoo contract, which they've done.
Wes Anderson?
Wesley Anderson, yes.
The film director?
No, I don't believe so. And have to pay $21 million in year one. Will the Canes move other players to compensate? No, because it's the annual average of the salary, AAV, not what the money is up front. It's how it's spread out over the 5 years. So it's money basically the Canes already had budgeted in and heading into this offseason. They have, what, $22.8 million of salary cap space?
Yeah, I think after this gets put pen to paper, they'll have 11 and change of cap space, which isn't a whole lot.
That's
especially
right.
Considering...
Because yesterday I saw it before, I was looking at the cap space before the Peter Mrazek sign.
Yeah, 11 and change, and you have to fit, you figure Hayden Fleury, Brock McGinn, Justin Williams, mm-hmm. and once you fit some contracts like that into there, you're not dealing with a whole lot of cap space. So the Hurricanes might be, last year they were a team with quite a bit of space to play with. This year, maybe not so much.
Which checkers have to clear waivers next season in order to play and be sent back down to Charlotte? So Hayden Fleury. I know you guys mentioned Fleury, but who else? That is from The Josh. Hayden Fleury right now would be the only one. I think Alex Nedeljkovic could still go back and forth because he's on a two-way contract.
And Fleury...
And he's doesn't have enough of the requisite games played in the NHL.
Yeah, and Fleury was one that could this year and will not be able to this upcoming year. I think that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't really call Lucas Wallmark a checker anymore. Yeah. I think he's sort of graduated.
Marty Nachos could go back and forth.
Yeah, yeah. So. I'd have to, off the top of my head, that sounds like the only one.
All right, there you go. This one comes from Tyler Scruggs. Forgot to put the CanesCast hashtag on this one. Also, like it, keep it. This is from Michael Smith. The best TV broadcast trio in the galaxy got re-signed on July 1st.
Taking it.
Oh, thank
you. Keeping it. Loving it.
Thank you. Thank you much. Let me see here. One more. Oh, this one coming in. I had fun with the Iron Caniac on this because he's asked this question about 44 different ways. Are the Canes getting new road white jerseys this season?
I don't know.
And I kept telling him, I wish I knew what he wanted to ask us.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned. That's all we can tell you. Wink. Michael Smith will tell you, stay tuned. That's it.
Yeah, stay tuned.
Question about Michael Ferland's situation. What have you heard about his contract and signing about him? Not much.
He's out there.
Yep. I think he's going to find out what's available, and that's one where maybe it comes back to Carolina. You're not sure. So that comes through. Let's see here from Zach Bradshaw. Which happens first? Hayden Fleury scores first NHL goal or Andrei Svechnikov scores first NHL hat trick?
Oh.
The love averages says that Fleury's got to get a goal.
He's due.
He's due.
He's due. I think he's going to get one early. Just get it right out of the way.
I can see Svechnikov going off and getting a hat trick early.
Yeah. He's going to be due for one of those, too. Both are going to happen this season.
You want to split?
We'll call it
You want to split? One of us takes Fleury and one of us
I'll take Fleury.
I'll take Svechnikov. All right. So
get back to us when it happens, if you remember.
Yeah. So I'm saying Svech is ready, although the law of averages would say Hayden Fleury.
Though I do think both happen in the 19-20 season.
Any idea what the Canes will do now down an AHL coach and assistant general manager? Will they keep the positions together? Are there any early candidates? That is from Jacob K. No, basically Don Waddell yesterday was talking about that situation, that there's always changes in a front office. I don't think that they're going to tie the Charlotte Checkers head coaching job to an assistant general manager with the Carolina Hurricanes. I think they'll be independent of each other, however that comes through. And as far as names go, I have not heard any names on the radar screen for who the Checkers coach would be. Have you, Michael?
Nope.
All right.
Well, we made Shane Willis the coach in the insiders panel after the Canes prospect game. We just anointed him head coach of the Charlotte Checkers. So I hope he and the Checkers are okay with that because it's official. We put it out there. So it's happening now.
All right.
Not
I
really.
Like that. Well, that's
but
fine.
Maybe.
That's fine. This is from Joey Nix. Niedermeyer, Lidstrom, Slavin, same style defenseman, future same conversation. Jacob Slavin's a really good skater.
I think it's a little too early.
Niedermeyer was an elite skater.
Yeah.
I mean, next level stuff. Nicky Lidstrom is about as the complete total package you could get for a defenseman. I think a little bit more offense to his game. Niedermeyer had a little bit more offense to his game than what Slavin has. Doesn't mean Slavin can't get it because we saw in the playoffs he was getting assists left and right.
And that's that one thing, too, when asked what he wanted to maybe focus on heading into next year was, and he said, improving his offensive contributions a little bit. Maybe.
So when you say future same conversation, he can get there
yeah.
in the future. Right now –
little too early right now.
Still some work to do on that one. That's a really good question. So this was another one that was coming through for you, Mr. Smith. And this is where I want to make sure I get this. After Bill Berniston stops listening.
Which is now. Actually, it's probably like 20 minutes ago. It's probably, this podcast has probably run way too long for him. We're well over an hour at this point.
Well, we had a lot of news to get to. So we'll close it with this. Top three meals, any NHL city for any meal, breakfast, lunch, dinner, go.
Whew, jeez. I could think about this one for a week and probably still not have a proper answer for you on next episode. I haven't eaten breakfast in too many NHL cities. We had that one breakfast at the one place in Winnipeg, but I forget what it was called.
Yeah.
Which obviously doesn't help things right now.
Yeah, you're not helping.
Lunch, I love meat and bread.
Just go with meat
obviously.
And bread.
Obviously. The whole time. In Vancouver and Calgary and Seattle next year.
Look at you.
Or 2 years from now, I guess.
Dinner. We've had dinner in a lot of good spots. One of the better spots. I want to make sure that.
It's such a broad question because you could go.
I know. And I mean, we don't you really. Go, you could we go don't super, do a lot of breakfast.
No.
Breakfast is usually coffee
or a banana.
Or, yeah, like fruit. So.
Because you could, for dinner, you could go super high end or you could go quick bite somewhere. There's so many options. I don't know if there's a right answer.
One of the better spots in California is the Quiet Woman for dinner. I actually kind of am hesitant to put that spot out there because it's so good. Not that we're going to get people flocking to
right.
it. But
we don't have the same.
But for dinner, it's a really good
it's
spot.
It's not like a Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives thing.
Yeah,
where
no, it's when
people
we
flock to yeah, it.
When we recommend it, get ready. Here comes a half an hour line.
Right, they're not going to put our faces on the wall and have us autograph it or anything like that.
They could. Why not?
Wouldn't mean much. People would be asking a lot of questions.
Yeah,
but
I'm okay with that. For lunch, hot chicken takeover in Columbus.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which apparently now has baked beans, thanks to our intel in Columbus.
Still going mac and cheese on that one.
Yes, yeah.
So, yeah, hot chicken takeover there. There's a lot of good spots.
Yeah, In-N-Out, great lunch spot.
Great dinner spot.
Great dinner spot.
Good breakfast spot.
Yeah, not going to judge.
I'll click those boxes off right there.
Depends what time you're eating breakfast.
This is true.
Yeah.
A few other assorted spots that we can just highlight for you. Good question, though.
Yeah.
One more thing to end it. Are either of us going to be going to see Spider-Man this week?
Nope. Saw Toy Story. Wow. Couldn't even get it out. Saw Toy Story 4. Excellent.
Oh, good. I saw yesterday.
Was it good?
It was all right.
Yeah.
They had a really good idea for a movie, and then they're like, now what? Because it got to a point, you're like, oh, they don't know what to do, right. Do they?
They wrote like a scene and were like, yes, we have a movie. And then, yeah.
If you like Beatles songs and things of that nature, and I do, I'm a Beatles fan.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it got to a point where you're like, oh, you don't know how you want to end this, do you?
Toy Story 4, and I won't spoil it because it did just come out, but Toy Story 1, 2, and 3, that comprised the perfect trilogy, I think. And then you heard Toy Story 4 was coming out, and you're like, oh, why do we need this thing when it was the perfect sort of circular story that they told? They did it. They went and did it again. It's a great movie.
If we're talking trilogies, there's only one that exists.
Well.
That's episodes 4, 5, and 6.
Certainly not 1, 2, and 3.
No.
Possibly
no.
7, 8, 9.
We're in the minority on that, so you know.
Are we?
Yes.
History's looked more fondly upon 1, 2, and 3?
No, but they're not. I think they're looking on, so far, 7, 8. Like, 9 better be good because 8 was not good. Am I,
no.
Whatever.
I loved 8. Loved 7.
I enjoyed 8.
Loved
7,
4, 5, 6.
It's funny. I liked 8 more than I liked 7 because sitting through 7, I'm like, I've already seen this. Why?
I'd even dare to say I like 3. But only
we've gone down this
when
road
you consider
before.
1 and 2.
We've gone down this road before. Good scenes. There are better scenes in 3.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one redeeming scene in 1 and 2. And that's it.
But Toy Story 4.
That's the Star Wars trilogy, by the way, folks. Yeah, yeah, if you weren't wondering, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. The core foundation which Kane's cast has been laid upon.
Right, exactly.
All right, that's it. So is there anything else you want to cover? Anything else we need to get to?
I think we got it all. Hopefully it shed some light on this whole process because it happened quickly.
Yep.
And there were a lot of things were said and insinuated and tweeted and argued about. Hopefully we clarified some things,
that's
shed
all.
Some light on some things.
And again,
added to the conversation.
You know, if people think that on opening night, we did have one question, you know, how amped are we for opening night? I'm amped for opening night no matter who it is. The fact that it's Montreal makes it ironic.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, people are like, oh, it's going to be a bloodbath. That doesn't happen anymore.
No.
And it's not like the Montreal Canadian players are going to be mad that Sebastian Aho signed an offer sheet with them.
None of them had anything to do with it.
And the Canes, the players aren't going to be mad at, you know, Sebastian Aho for signing a contract offer with Montreal and coming back to play in Carolina. No matter how he got here, the guys like him in that locker room.
Yep.
So, yeah, so those days are over. Might there be some harsh feelings in the future between the Canes front office and the Montreal front office? Yeah, I don't anticipate that at any point in time Don Waddell and Marc Bergevin are going to be going fishing. But I could be wrong.
But
I don't think it won't change business. If there's a business deal that makes sense for both of them, they'll make it.
Yeah.
That's it.
I agree.
Okay.
More offer sheets, please.
All of them.
I mean, not necessarily directed at the Hurricanes because it has been
yes.
a chaotic 24 hours, but more offer sheets.
Yeah, the only thing that really started to annoy me as this has moved on is like fans of Montreal or other teams going, well, what does this say about the Canes if they couldn't get a deal done with Aho and it had to be an offer sheet? And when you ask, well, what does it say about other teams that they still have theirs? And they never answer the question.
Yeah.
You're like, okay.
Yep.
But it's over. Sebastian Aho is going to be a Carolina Hurricane. Peter Mrazek is going to be a Carolina Hurricane. Eric Halla has been added to the top nine of the Carolina Hurricanes. There's still a little bit of room for them to address if there's a free agent out there that makes sense, that they can fit. Remember, they didn't sign Calvin DeHaan until, when was that, Michael, last
year? It was July 3rd.
Yeah.
So tomorrow.
Exactly. But yeah. what I'm saying is, like, you didn't sign anybody on the first or second day of free agency, so
right.
there's still room to do all of those things. And as always, there's room for the Canes cast. We will be back next week.
We will be.
Tuesday?
Probably on Monday.
Okay. I'm ready.
Probably.
I'm good for Monday.
Yeah.
And we can, if we missed any questions or anything you want to get into, please feel free to re-sign it.
Yes, please.
Re-sign it. Resend it. We'll take it all.
Subscribe if you haven't already. Rate us, review us on iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called
yep.
now. Helps us out. We love you.
Yeah.
Best friends, 5 stars. You know the
yeah.
you know the drill.
If the more you like the podcast, the more they let us keep doing the podcast. So that's that. All right. For the web's Michael Smith.
And TV's Mike Maniscalco.
I would offer sheet you no matter where you went.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I would sign that offer sheet.
As well you should.
Uh-oh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.